What is it that you think people like to talk about the most? If you were to come up with a list of topics, you say, here's what people like to talk about the most, or here's what I hear people talking about the most. What would make that list? If you were to make a list of what people talk about most on social media, what would be on that list? I tried yesterday to find out what are the top things that are discussed on social media. Believe it or not, people can't agree on what the top things are that are the top topics and what people want to talk about all over social media. And they can't agree on it, but I want to give you, it's sort of a top 10 list. They're in all sorts of different orders depending on who you look at and who's reporting it and what time of year they report it and all that. But here are the top 10 things, or at least the top 10 things that are discussed on social media these days. See if this sounds familiar to you. Number one, entertainment. That's what people seem to talk about a lot. And for some people, it's what they talk about the most. Talk about the movies, talk about TV, talk about the music, talk about what's happening with celebrities. Entertainment seems to be a big thing that people talk about. Number two, technology. You got to figure out what's going on with their phones. Why their phones aren't working. Why their phones are doing this or that. What's the latest or the greatest gadget? What's the latest or greatest phone? What games they're playing? Talk about social media itself. Number three, what would you think? Top things that are discussed on social media. Number three, sports and recreation. And as we near college football season, I suspect that's going to ramp up the list a bit. But sports and recreation, not only what we watch in sports, what our favorite sports teams are, what we're doing in sports, what we're doing for recreation. That's what people like to talk about. Number four, food and drink. For some of you, you thought that would have been number one. With all the pictures that people post of their lunches and their dinners and their snacks and all the food that they eat. But we talk about what we eat, whether we like it, whether we don't like it. What else would be on your list? Top things people talk about. Social media. Number five is travel. Trips people are taking. What they're doing for the holidays. Where they're going for the holidays. New cars that they're buying. Number six, family and relationships. Talking about their husband or their wife, hopefully in nice ways. Talking about their husband or their wife or their children or those things called grandchildren. They appear all over social media and pictures and relationships and who's engaged to who. Have you heard the latest? Who just got engaged? I'm not going to tell you. But the people who are getting married, all sorts of relationships going on. Or you can go on and figure out who's not engaged anymore, or figure out who's not in a relationship anymore. And all sorts of stuff come across. What are we on? Number seven, government and politics. Isn't that a fun one? Sometimes a year you might say that's number one. You can't get on social media now and not be bombarded by something going on with government or politics or even current events. Number eight, health and wellness. What people are doing to get fit, what people are doing what diets they're trying, what they're doing in exercising. Number nine, jobs and career. Number 10, home life and shopping. Now, I don't know what order you would put these in. You look at different places and they've got most of these same things, but they've got them in some different order. But those are the top 10 things that people are talking about these days. Top 10 things that are being discussed online on social media. But let me ask you something. Did you notice anything missing from the list? Let me read it to you again. Maybe you weren't paying attention. Let me read it to you again. Do you notice anything missing out of this? Entertainment, technology, sports and recreation, food and drink, travel, family relationships, government and politics, health and wellness, jobs and career, home life and shopping. Anything that you just think, wow, what could be on that list that's not on that list? You notice anything missing? The very thing that our world needs the most is not on the list. The very thing that could solve all of our problems is not on the list. The very thing that could bring peace to all of the tranquility that people are experiencing in their personal lives, in their families, and in relationships between nations could be solved by this one thing that apparently is not on the top 10 list of things that people are talking about. Brother and sister in Christ, I want us to understand this morning that it is time for Christians to start talking about Jesus. We talk about everything else in the world. And I don't know why the weather didn't make the top 10 list. We talk about everything that we possibly can talk about. We have knowledge about things. There are some people in this congregation, they have knowledge about stuff that you wouldn't even think that there would be knowledge about those things. But they have knowledge about those things that you would think, why do we need that knowledge? We have knowledge. There are some in here who know things about cars that I would have never dreamed would have existed in an engine. I don't know much about engines. Some of you can use words. You could come up and talk to me about an engine. I think you're the smartest person in the world. I don't have a clue. There's some of you that know the ins and outs of every player on your favorite sports team. You know their position. You know their number. You know their height. You know their weight. You know where they came from. You know everything about them. And that, I'm not saying any of that's bad. But we talk about everything in the world. But you know what the world needs? The world needs Jesus. The world needs what we have. The world needs what we know. And if there was ever a time when we needed to start talking about Jesus, it's now. You look at what's happening around us. You look at the chaos that is in this nation. You look at the turmoil that we are experiencing as a nation. You look at how individuals are trying to stir us up against one another. Brethren, it's time for us to not get sucked into all of this, but to start talking about Jesus. Our theme this year is I'm Not Ashamed. And each month we have a sub-theme that goes along with that major theme for the year of I'm Not Ashamed. And what we're talking about this month is I'm not ashamed to talk about Jesus. I want to ask you a question. Are you? Are you ashamed to talk about Jesus? I'm not talking about inside this building. I'm not talking about with each other. Can we say, I'm not ashamed to talk about Jesus? We've got to do it. Turn in your Bibles to John chapter 1. And I want us to look this morning in John chapter 1 at this tremendous passage about an individual who was not ashamed to talk about Jesus. I want us this morning to look at John the Baptist, a man who was not ashamed to talk about Jesus. And I want you to see what he says in John chapter 1 verse 22. They ask him, "Who are you?" Who are you? When somebody asks you, "Who are you?" do you usually give them your name? Isn't that what you usually do? Here's my name. Here's who, or you may do what Ken did the other week. Said, "Well, I don't have an identity of my own. I'm Kara's father." Okay, that's your identity, right? Who are you? You give your name, or you give a relationship. They ask him, "Who are you, John?" What does he say in verse 23? John says, "I am the voice." He didn't say his name. He says, here's who I am. I am the voice. John the Baptist was the voice to talk about Jesus. That's why he came. He says, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Not the voice of one talking. Not the voice of one whispering. Not the voice of one crying, shouting, proclaiming in the wilderness. Did the people in John's day need to know about Jesus? Did they need to hear about Jesus? John's responsibility was to proclaim Jesus to the people. And that's what he did. He said, I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness. And then what does he talk about at the end of verse 23? About making straight the pathway of God. The prophecy from Isaiah chapter 40 starts that off by saying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. What was John's job? He was the voice. What's the voice supposed to do? Proclaim Jesus. What's the voice supposed to do? Prepare people for the coming of Jesus. That's what John came to do. And as you look down in verse 26 and verse 27 and verse 29, you see John with his words. You can almost see his finger. You can almost see his eyes. But not just with his finger, not with his eyes, with his voice, he's pointing people to Jesus. Don't look at me. There's one coming after me, verse 6, who's greater than I, whose sandal I'm not worthy to loose. He's pointing people to Jesus. I want you to think about John the Baptist. I want you to think about the day in which he lived. He lived in a day when many men had turned from where God wanted them to be. Why did God say, make straight the path of God? Because some people had made it pretty crooked. There were even religious people. There were people who believed in God who had changed God's ways. There were some dark days for some of them. And John came at a time when men did not want to hear necessarily the truth. John came at a time when men had elevated themselves above God. John came at a time when men had taken, they had taken their own teachings, their own ideas, and elevated them above and superseded those of God. Can you imagine what that might have been like to live in that kind of a day? When men would do that with their ideas and elevate themselves above God and not care about what God's truths and paths might have been, what would that be like? I want you to look at the screen because this really isn't our first point this morning. First point is not that John the Baptist was the voice to talk about Jesus. The first point this morning is that we are the voice to talk about Jesus. And the lesson is not about John proclaiming and John preparing and John pointing. The points this morning are we are responsible for that. Are you ready to be the voice? Are you not the voice? God has no other voice on this earth but yours. Are you ready to be the voice that proclaims Jesus to people who need to hear it? Well, no, that's the preacher's job. That's the elder's job. No, it's all of our jobs. Are you ready to be the voice that prepares people for the coming of Jesus? Think about that. John prepared people for the first coming of Jesus. What are we doing? We are the voice who is preparing Jesus for preparing people for the second coming of Jesus. When people listen to you, when people hear your voice, when people read your posts online, are you pointing them to Jesus? When they hear you, when they read you, are you pointing them towards Jesus? If there was ever a time that our world needed Christians to not be ashamed to talk about Jesus, it's now. And we need to leave here this morning more determined than ever that we are going to be the voice. Where else is it going to come from? If we're going to wait for the world to start shouting Jesus, if we're going to wait for the media to start shouting Jesus, if we're going to wait for everybody else around us to start shouting Jesus, it's never going to happen. We've got to be that voice. And so when we look at John, we see him as the voice. And when we look at John, we see him as the template to talk about Jesus. I want us to look at one verse in verse 29 this morning. I want us to look at this one verse, and in this one verse, we have the template for talking about Jesus. First thing we see John say in that verse, and Jimmy, thank you for the emphasis. Do you notice the exclamation point after that first word? Thank you for the emphasis in reading this. What does John say? Behold! You can hear it in his voice. You can almost see his finger and see his eyes. We see a template in John that we are to call attention to Jesus. John was calling attention. He saw Jesus and he wanted to draw everybody's attention to Jesus. Get the attention away from me. Call their attention to Jesus. Behold, do we do that? We've got to call attention to Jesus through our actions, not just our words. We've got to call attention to Jesus through our actions. Matthew 5 and verse 16 says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works," and then do what? "Glorify the Father in heaven." What are we doing? We're calling attention to Him and not to us by our actions. We need to call attention to Him through the choices that we make. We looked a couple weeks ago at 1 Peter chapter 4. Where the Bible says that we spend enough of our past lifetime in verse 2 following after the ways of the Gentiles. We need to come back and we need to serve the Lord to the point that verse 4 says there are going to be some people who look at you and they think it's strange that you've changed your life. They think it's strange you're not following after them anymore. They think it's strange you're not doing what they're doing anymore. What do they realize? You've made a choice. You've made a choice to do something different than what you did before. And your choice is a voice that says, draw your attention to Jesus. We've got to draw attention to Jesus, not just by our actions and our choices, but just by our manner of living, by our lifestyle, by the way we choose to hold ourselves. You remember what Paul said in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 21? "For me to live is Christ." That's a lifestyle. Paul says, "Here's my lifestyle. Here's my manner of living. Here's where I'm all wrapped up. I am all wrapped up in living for Jesus." That's how we call attention to Jesus. Not that people will look at us, but that they will look at Christ through us. And obviously, we call attention to Jesus through our words. Later on in John chapter 1, you read about Andrew, who went to his brother named Peter and said, "We have found the Messiah." You read about Philip, who went to his friend Bartholomew and said, "We have found the Messiah." Can we say that? Can we say to others, "We have found Jesus"? That's our job. And here we have a template in John of him calling attention to Jesus. "Behold!" But he didn't just call attention to Jesus. He called attention to who Jesus was. And that's what we've got to do, is to call attention to who Jesus is. "Behold, the Lamb of God." Who is Jesus? If you were going to tell somebody else who Jesus is, what would you say? Who is He? Well, you could say that He's the Creator, because He is. John chapter 1 and verse 3 says, "But by Him all things were made." Jesus created everything. In a world that doesn't believe that there is a God who in the beginning created the heavens and the earth, we need to call people's attention to Jesus as the Creator, as the one who made all things. If you were going to tell somebody who Jesus is, who would you tell them He is? He's the Creator. He's the Sustainer. It's not just that Jesus created all things and then just left, but that He, in Him, all things are held together. Colossians 1 verse 17 says, "In Him all things consist." They're held together by the word of His power. In Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3, He continues to uphold all things. If you're going to tell somebody who Jesus is, call their attention to Him. He's the Creator. He's the Sustainer. He's the authority. Not me. Not the president. Not the Congress. Not the Supreme Court. Jesus has all authority. Matthew 28 and verse 18. Jesus is the judge. He's the supreme judge. And Acts 17 and verse 30 is the verse we often quote, where the Bible says, "God now commands all men everywhere to repent." The very next verse says, here's why you need to repent. Because God has appointed a day on which He will judge the world. And He's already appointed the judge, Jesus Christ. He's the judge of the world. And His words are going to judge us. If you're going to tell somebody who Jesus is, He's the Creator, He's the Sustainer, He's the Authority, He's the Judge, He's the Savior, He's the one who went to the cross, He's the one who died, He's the Savior, who are you going to tell them that He is? You think about who Jesus is, and there's all sorts of different qualities, different things that we could tell somebody about Jesus. Can we tell them that He's the friend? How many people think about Jesus being a friend? But that's what He says in John 15. I call you my friends. If you keep my commandments, you will be called my friends. Could you tell somebody that Jesus could be their friend? Tell somebody that Jesus is the comforter. He's the encourager. Isaiah prophesied that He would be the wonderful counselor. He would be the Prince of Peace. Jesus is one that we can cast all of our cares upon. He's the comforter. And when we sin, He's the advocate. He's the one who is pleading our case to the Father. How would you, if you were going to call attention to Jesus, we do it by our words and our actions and our lifestyle and our choices, but if you're going to call attention to who Jesus is, who would you tell somebody that Jesus is? I want you to look at this list that's on the screen. I know some of you are taking notes, but I want you to look at this list that's on the screen. Because I want you to be able to tell somebody who Jesus is with a little different word than is up here. All of these statements are absolutely true. And you could convince somebody that all of these statements are absolutely true, but all of these are impersonal in their nature. You want to convince somebody of who Jesus really is? Then go to them and say, Jesus is my Creator. Jesus is my Sustainer. I couldn't make it without Him. Jesus is my Authority. I've got to have Him. It's not all about me. Jesus is my Judge. Jesus is my Savior. Jesus is my Friend. I want to tell you about my friend. You ever talk to somebody about your friends? Not talking about them behind their back. That's a whole different deal. You ever talked to, let me tell you about my friends. Let me tell you what's going on with them. Jesus is my friend. You tell somebody, Jesus is my comforter. Jesus is my advocate. Why? Because He is my all in all. He's my everything. If you go to somebody and try to call their attention to Jesus and call their attention to who Jesus is, they will listen to you more if you tell them who Jesus is to you. You say, He's my everything. Somebody's going to want to know why. But back in John 1 and verse 29, He called their attention to Jesus, called their attention to who Jesus is, and in the third place, called their attention to what Jesus does. Behold, the Lamb of God, that's who He is. What is He doing? He takes away the sin of the world. What would you tell somebody about what Jesus does? What would you tell somebody about what Jesus has done, what He did? You talk about how Jesus left heaven for mankind. Can you believe? Can you believe somebody would do that? He left, we sing a song that says, He left the splendor of heaven, knowing His destiny was the lonely hill of Golgotha. He left heaven for mankind. He left heaven for a bunch of sinners. And He came down to this earth and demonstrated His love. Ephesians 5 and verse 2 says how much He loved us. Well, how did He demonstrate His love? By suffering and dying for mankind. If you were going to tell somebody what Jesus has done, would you tell them how He left heaven? How He demonstrated His love by suffering and dying? How He demonstrated His love when there on the cross, He took on the sins of every human who's ever lived or ever would live. Hebrews 9 and verse 27 or verse 28 says that when He went to that cross, it was there to bear sins. Isaiah prophesied that the Lord would lay upon Him the iniquity of us all in Isaiah 53. If you were going to tell somebody what Jesus had done, would you tell them how He took all of our sins? And by taking all sins, He was separated from God for sinful man. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why? Because Habakkuk 1 verse 13 says, God cannot behold and look upon evil. And when all the evil of all of the world was laid upon Jesus, God the Father could not even look at God the Son. What would you tell somebody? What Jesus has done? Would you tell them how He was raised from the dead? He didn't just die. But by the power of God, He was raised on that third day for mankind. And now He's in heaven. But it's not that He's just there and doing nothing. But He wants now to take upon Himself our burdens of life. Isn't one of your favorite verses Matthew 11 verse 28? Come unto me all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus is calling every person on this earth. Could we not tell them what He wants to do for them? How He wants to ease their burden of life. Take their weary, laden souls upon Himself. Could we not tell them how He has created and prepared a beautiful place called heaven? And He made it for anybody who would go there. Brethren, it's needful. It's desperately needful for us to talk about Jesus. Draw attention to Him. Tell people who He is. But tell people what He has done. But I want you to look at the screen again. Because again, all of the statements up here are absolutely true. But all of them are kept at a distance from us personally. If we want to talk about Jesus, we don't just need to say what He did for all of the world. What can we tell people about what Jesus has done for me? Jesus left heaven for me. He demonstrated His love for me. He suffered and died for me. He bore my sins. He was separated from God because and for me. He wants to take my burdens away from me. He has prepared heaven for me. Can we not tell others about Jesus? Tell them what He has done for us and how He has changed my life. Because it's all about Him. It is not about us. And if He has truly, 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 hear me, truly changed your life, wouldn't other people know about it? Shouldn't they hear about it? Shouldn't they see it? Here we are as Christians. We are the voice. We are to be the voice to talk about Jesus. We have the template to talk about Jesus. The last thing I want us to consider this morning is that as Christians, we have, number one, the responsibility. But number two, we also have the tools that we need to talk about Jesus. What can you and I do? How can we take this and make it real this morning? First thing we've got to do is we've got to start. We've got to start somewhere. I don't know what we've been doing, but we can always do more. The ushers have brought some tables out in the lobby, and they will be there as you leave this morning that have a variety of things on them that we can use, tools that we can take, and something that we can use just to start. This isn't the finishing point, but we got to start somewhere. Is to give somebody a track. Take one of these tracks that's out here in the track rack and just give it to people. But something we had several years ago, and we haven't put it out there in a long time, are these $1 million bills. You want to get somebody's attention? We've got $2.4 billion in the lobby this morning. I counted it before I put it out there. All right? But I didn't. I almost posted we were going to have $2.4 billion here this morning. I thought, no, maybe I won't put that. But we've got $2.4 billion in the lobby this morning in $1 million bills. You want to get somebody's attention? Why? Because on the back of it, it says, what's worth more than $1 million? Your soul is. and it's got the plan of salvation on the back of this. There's 2,400 bills out there. You do the math on how many you think each person in here is allowed to pick up this morning, but 2,400 out there divided by, you just stick around, and if somebody doesn't pick up theirs, you go pick up theirs for you, and you take them. Could we not get rid of these today? What would it be like if we left here today and gave out $2.4 billion? Could we get some attention for Jesus? Could we call attention to Jesus if we passed out $2.4 billion? But it's just a starting place. We got to start somewhere, whether it's this, whether it's track, or whether it's what some of you have been doing, just posting things on Facebook, posting things on social media, just a Bible verse. Again, that's a starting place. Not some long diatribe about something, but just, here's a Bible verse. Here's a biblical thought for today. You don't have to do it every day. Do it once a week. But start somewhere where, whether it's a piece of paper or a post online, that just sparks a thought. That's all that this first point is we've got to start somewhere. But it's just a starting point. Starting is not the ending point. We've got to move. We've got to move from there, and we've got to move onward. We've got to move forward. And we can do that in a number of ways. An easy way to do that is to invite people to come with us to a church service. Easy way to do that is just to use a church business card. There's some of these out on the table. We're getting these redesigned and redone, so we just need to get rid of whatever we've got. But it's easy. Say, here's where we meet. Here's the address. Here's service times. Would you come to church with me sometime? We're having Bible class Wednesday night. Would you come with me Sunday morning? Would you come with me Sunday night? Taking that spark where we started to spark some kind of interest, and now moving forward a little bit more, say, how about coming to church with me? What can we do to make more progress with the sparks that we create? But moving forward isn't everything. You start and you move forward, but that's not the end. We have to get specific. We've got to get specific. Just putting a Bible verse on your Facebook page, that's a start. That's not getting down to where people need to be in making changes in their life. Giving them $1 million bills is going to create a spark and interest, but we've got to get more specific than that. We've got to let people know where they are and where they need to go and what they need to do to get themselves right with the Lord. That's what the voice does. John came. You think his message was very popular? His sermons were summarized in this statement: repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's not very popular to tell somebody to repent, is it? But do they need to? Do people need to change? That's what the word means. Do they need to change their mind so they can change their life? Do we need to let them know where that needs to be done? A few years ago, we had a number of copies of a little New Testament, little black New Testament that is specially designed to teach somebody the gospel without even being there with them. It does a great job of taking them page by page. And so you see down at the bottom of the very front cover, I don't know if you can read this, what if the Lord were to come right now? I want you to think about that. What if He were to come right now? Would you know for sure, nothing doubting, that you would go to heaven? Please turn to page 362. And throughout this little New Testament, it goes from this page to that page, teaching them who Jesus is, teaching them what Jesus has done, teaching them what they need to do, with just statements and questions at the top and the bottom of each of those pages, just one-liners. It says, turn to this page, turn to that page. You may remember the last Sunday of January this year. Remember what that day was? Mission Sunday. You may remember on that day that the pyramid that the elders had challenged the church for our mission works, that the top of that pyramid was at about $125,000 of works that they had designated for us to do. You may remember that on that day, more than $150,000 was given. Over and above, obviously, the $125,000 that the elders had challenged this church with. This church gave over $150,000. So the elders have been talking these last several months. What do we do? What do we do with these extra funds? What would the congregation like for us to do with these extra funds? Some of that money, just a portion of it, was taken, and several hundred of these little New Testaments were ordered. And they're out on these tables this morning. Only 600 of them are out here this morning. You do the math. You figure out how many each person here gets. But you go and pick up two of those for yourself. These aren't like the $1 million bill that you just spread like it's money. It doesn't matter. You can give it out to anybody. Do you know two people? Do you know two people that you would like to teach the gospel to, that you could give them this New Testament and help them to know what they need to do? You watch that table. When somebody walks by it and they don't pick up their copies, you go get their copies for you. And then you've got four people that you can go. Who do you know? This isn't for you to keep. You don't need it. It's for you to give to somebody you've already been talking to, somebody you've already sparked interest with, somebody you've already started down the road with, but you want to let them know, I just would like you to know what the Bible says. We could get rid of $2.4 billion today. I imagine we could pass out 600 New Testaments before we come back next week to 600 people who need this book. The last thing we need to do is, after we've done all of that, we have got to draw it to a point. Even if you give somebody this little New Testament, you still have not brought it around to where you need to be. You need to ask that person, would you study the Bible with me? That's one of the most frightening things to ask. It's one of the most frightening things to ask, especially when they say yes. Because now what do I do? But it's one of the most rewarding things that you'll ever ask. It's one of the most challenging things you'll ever do, to sit down and study the Bible with somebody. But it is the most rewarding thing you'll ever do, to sit across the table from somebody and teach them the Bible. We not only have the responsibility, we have the tools here. We have Bible studies that we keep out on that table in the lobby, underneath the track rack, those three series of studies that were especially written for anybody to take and use. Anybody who's got a pen and a Bible can teach somebody the gospel using those. If you don't want to do that, there are Searching for Truth DVDs always on that table that you can take, not just to give to somebody. You can do that if you want to. You can take that DVD and go and sit down with them and let that DVD teach them the gospel while you are sitting there. How much knowledge do you have to have? You don't even have to know how to work the VCR to know how to watch a DVD. Aren't DVD players a whole lot easier than VCRs? I think they are. So all you got to do is play a DVD, teach somebody the gospel. And you say, man, that's old technology. That's paper. That's DVD. Give me something new. Go to our website. Go down in the bottom right of our website. Right, it should say Searching for Truth, ? Click there. And it'll take you to the Searching for Truth lessons online. You can share with somebody. You can teach somebody. You can sit down with somebody. Brethren, it's time for Christians to talk about Jesus. It is time, past time, for us to get busy. It is time for us to be able to say, I am not ashamed to talk about Jesus. What can we do today? What can we do this week? What can we do this month? What can we do with the rest of the time the Lord's given to us to make a difference, not for us, but to make a difference for Him? Are you a Christian? You know, if you're not a Christian, if you're not a faithful Christian, then now is the time for you to surrender your life to Jesus. Do you believe that He is the Son of God? that He died on that cross taking our sins, that He was buried in that tomb, and on the third day He was raised again. If you believe that with all of your heart, the Bible says, remember what John said, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That was Jesus' message. Repent, lest you all likewise perish. And then when we make up our minds, stop doing wrong, I want to start doing right, we can confess the faith that is in our heart, just as they did in the New Testament, in order that they might become a Christian and be baptized to get into Christ. There's no other path into Christ. There's no other way to have salvation. There's no other path to have the forgiveness of sins than to be immersed in water. Allow the blood of Jesus to wash away every sin you've ever committed. God will add you to His church, to His family. And then He will take and write your name down in heaven as one of His children. Have you ever done that? If you've never done that, now's the time to surrender your life to Him and then to live a life of faithful service to Jesus. Can you, like Paul, say, for me to live is Christ? Where are you this morning? Are you a Christian? Are you a faithful Christian? If this church can help you in any way, then please come right now as together we stand and sing.